A quick little music break while we change the candidates. Our next prospective city council member, at least running for office, I believe you are running in Ward 1, am I correct?
That's correct.
We have with us Megan Cragen, correct?
Yeah.
And I told Megan before the show that I just wanted to tell her she looks just like her mother when her mother was about her age. Well, you look just like your mother. And I've known Megan's family forever. And so we're going to jump right in here and get with the program. So I want you to give us a little synopsis of who you are.
Where do you even start when majority all of your life has been here? And so most people know me, I think, or at least my family. So I was born and raised here in Rollins and disappeared for a little bit, went off to college, grew up a little and came back. So I went to college in Casper for my first degree, and then upon coming back to Rollins, because Rollins is my home, I met my husband. We have three kids we're raising, and this is where my home is. And what more can you say when you have a passion to come back home? Come back home.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I had a passion, but I did come back home.
I wish we ended up right back where we are.
I'm only kidding, people. I love my community. I love my hometown, and that was why I ran for office, is because I wanted to give back. So.
Right? That's kind of, I think, the ground point for most candidates is wanting to give back, make your home a better place, clean up what you can, and do it as transparently as possible.
All right. So that's who Megan is. Now into the hard stuff.
Shoot.
Why are you running? I mean, you kind of touched on it briefly a little bit, but give us the meat and potatoes. Why are you running for office?
The meat and potatoes of it. Well, being homegrown, third generation for Rollins, I'm running for city council because I believe in Rollins, and I believe that we can be a great hub in our state. And with good representation and good advocacy, that I think that Rollins could be more than just a stopping point on I-80 or a place that people get stuck. But to be able to represent that and represent some change, I think that Rollins is ready for some change. And that's probably the biggest thing that, right? Knock on that wood. I'm ready for change. And I'm at a point in my life with my family and my village that I have great support. And like I said, my village is strong and they support me in this adventure I'm taking. Being a part of public health, which is where I've worked for the last 7 years, and the work that I do with them has been rewarding, challenging, but rewarding. And I think that in those frames of things that I've learned just over the years with public health, I think that I can also implement that.
I'm on the air. I'll have to call you back.
I was just going to say, that was our tornado warning, so we got to seek shelter in the fallout shelter.
And by the way, just FYI, when I downloaded the recording of last week, we had two emergency alerts during that we couldn't hear here.
There you go.
Good.
So, given the fact that you are a homegrown individual, you've come back to make a difference. But knowing what you know and what you have witnessed or what you have seen in the last couple of years, what would you do differently as if you're elected? What would you do differently to help? You just said that you think Rollins is like ripened and ready for change. What would you do differently than what's been done in the past?
Something that I've noticed just even on this short journey of campaigning and learning all of the ropes and what council members do and the hands that they have in the decisions that they do, it seems very much that they are very focused on, and as they should be, the big picture of the city of Rollins, that as a whole, making sure that they're meeting the city as a whole's needs. For me, I kind of felt a little bit rug underneath, pulled out of, well, I'm running for Ward 1, and does that also mean that I'm representing more so Ward 1 for the city of Rollins, that making sure that those needs are met, that it wasn't until I started digging into running that I realized how big Ward 1 is.
Oh, yeah.
It's and that biggest. It's not just Southside. And that's been my biggest pitch for people, is that it's not just Southside. It's all of DDA. It's all of Spruce Street.
Yeah, it's up to Daly Street. It's up by the cave and up in that general area.
Daly Street, I think all the way out.
So Ward 1 is, is huge.
It's
it really
huge.
Is huge.
And we are the face of the interstate. Mm-hmm. It is the place that people see when they pull into the city of Rollins. And so to have more representation and to have more advocacy in making it look really good.
Right.
And be in the top shape that it can be, that I feel like that representation should be a little bit louder.
Oh, okay, great. And also, again, this is kind of just a continuation of my previous question, but what would you do, to help correct some of the poor decision-making and poor planning that seems to have been par for the course for our city councils over the last probably, I'm going to say the last four decades, but in the more recent past, some of the decisions that have been made, what would you do differently to ensure that our community, at least the public, isn't so frustrated and angry by the decisions? Because I know the community feels like they didn't have a say in any of some of these decisions, and you never hear about them at city council meetings. All of a sudden, this is, third reading. It's like, I didn't even hear first and second readings.
I think that it takes a lot to involve ourselves as people of the public that aren't directly connected to city matters. Mm-hmm. That we are people who live in the city but don't always know what's being talked about and being planned. And I think it takes a very active, an active effort to know what's on the docket, what's on the agenda, what's being talked about, how many readings. So it's as someone who has tried to put out a lot of events and community events and fundraising and outreach and education, you can only tell as many people who are willing to listen.
Well, that's very true. Well, you make a very good point. Mm-hmm. And nobody else has said this, but you do as a citizen. And I think, like I told you, I've known your family since I was a little kid. And back in those days, we had a very active community. People got involved. People rolled up their sleeves and helped their neighbor, and were very community minded. And it seems like people now, they don't want to educate themselves on the things that are going on. They don't want to involve themselves in things that are. The only time they get involved is when it affects them directly. If it doesn't affect them indirectly, they pretty much don't care. And that's always been one of my frustrations since moving back. And I have always told people, if you are, if you're not trying to make change or trying to make a difference, then you're a part of the problem.
The loudest ones are the ones that have the biggest problems, but the loudest ones don't always do much to change it.
Right.
Which I've seen for years. the loudest wheel gets gets the oil or whatever they say.
Squeaky wheel gets the grease.
It does. And it's the same, I think, in city dynamics and that sense of community. When you say that, like, the neighbors helping neighbors back in the day, I really feel like it depends on your neighbors, and it depends on who you involve yourself with. I think Rollins and the community that you involve yourself with really makes a difference on how it is what you make it. And if they're making it a better place, then it is a better place for you. If you're not involved, and if you're not making change, and if you're not stepping up to help your neighbors and to raise the money for the places that need it to keep the doors open, then you can cry about it all you want.
You don't really have a right to complain about it if you're not engaged. That's kind of how I look at it.
Yep. No. And if I want to complain, I want to be able to say that I'm allowed to.
Well, there you go. There you go. What are your thoughts? I've heard this. I've seen it. I witnessed it. The perceived lack of transparency by our city council. You know, the public not being informed on things until it's like sprung on you. And all of a sudden, boom! You know, like the rates have been raised, not with no prior warning, or when you ask questions, they pretty much are ignored. So, what's your thought on council being transparent about all the issues and the concerns from the public?
It's a tough one, but from another perspective of just, I was with public health during COVID, and public enemy number one.
Yeah,
and the public can be harsh, especially if being thrown so many different curveballs and not feeling like people are being honest or transparent, that they weren't told that this was or this was or this was.
Right.
Some, from my experience, sometimes we're finding out as soon as you are, within a less than 24-hour period. And I can't speak on city council's behalf on that, but how long it takes from A to B to get that news out. I know that their communications has grown exponentially. I think that they have the position that they have with the city, who is putting out the information as soon as they are allowed to put out the information. And I think that that's, at least on a social media front, has improved. And I think that that's going in a great direction. The how we get from A to B, like I said, it's hard for me to be able to argue that, just because I've seen how it can go from A to Z overnight. Trying to get that information out and explaining and educating why and how it got there falls on deaf ears, especially for those who are just mad about the outcome. But the journey was a tidal wave.
Yeah, I think one of the smartest things they did is hire Myra as public relations.
I think she's done a great job.
She's done a fantastic job. I know she's been criticized for a few things, she's only communicating what she's given to communicate.
You can't shoot the message.
Yeah, exactly. She's just delivering the message, but I think that's one of the smartest things that the city has. And I applaud. I think it was Sean Metcalf is the one that hired her in that position, and I thought that was a brilliant move, and I think it's paid dividends, you know. So it's a good thing. Yes, Henry.
I just in that same realm, I had not thought about this before, but where, as a city council person, and you want to communicate with your constituents and the constituents of the other wards, where is that mode of communication from the city council person? Is it strictly through the public relations agent for the city, or is there something that the city council person would have a direct line of communication outside their phone number and email?
In the sense of passing information from city council's decisions.
Well, and what the city council is considering something, for example, and while they're considering it, the things that come up that you will talk about yourselves, maybe even in the city council open meetings, but is it up just to the to Myra, public relations, to be the funnel for the city council's?
Henry, I think in the previous administration, I think there was a gag order. They couldn't talk about stuff like that. They couldn't even put that information out to the public, which I thought that was BS for starters, because that individual basically wanted to be the catalyst of how all that information was disseminated amongst the community, which is wrong. And that if you're elected to the position of city council member, you have every right to communicate to your constituency. If they ask you a question about a specific thing that's happening, well, you as an elected official, you are entitled. Yeah. That's your job. Well,
but I'm looking at the larger picture. You know, right. For example, we had that one situation a few months ago where a constituent had a question with the city council representative. The city council representative brought it to an open meeting and asked the city and got an answer back. Well, that's a one-on-one, a specific thing, and that I can understand where that would be. So, but when the city is moving in a direction, a city councilman for Ward 2 may have a different opinion than Ward 1, and I think the community needs to know that there is a difference of opinion, and we're still working on it. But there's no way to communicate that to the constituents in general, or even for the ward that I know of anyway.
I think the only way that you can really distinguish that is by listening to the minutes and listening to the meetings. Of if the one person is opposing whatever is being moved, obviously there's something in those waters of not sitting right and needing further discussion. I would love to know more as to why a person, why in whatever situation they're opposing, is opposing, and where that conversation is had.
Well, that was just an example.
Yeah,
I'm just talking about, is Myra the only spokesperson for the entire city, including the council? It's a question for later, but it's something that I'm thinking, you know, because it didn't occur to me.
Worth a question to ask Myra, and I think that she's really just the megaphone of
disseminating that information as it comes to her.
Yeah, but I don't think Myra's going to say, well, it's a councilperson from Ward 1 said this.
Oh, no, she's not going to do that. I mean, she's old.
But that's what we need
like
to know.
Like writing in the newspaper. Yeah. You've got to make everything savvy.
All right.
So,
sorry.
We've covered a lot of different things. One of the things that I believe that, or at least I'm acknowledge or from my observations, this is just an observation, but I think there's a lot of apathy that exists in this community, and a lot of people, I don't know if it's they're afraid to communicate, or they don't want to, or they're afraid of being embarrassed, or whatever the case may be. But how, if you're elected, how do you engage those community members or your constituency? How do you engage them and get them to be more involved if they have issues and concerns, to bring them up, attend city council meetings? How do you go about changing that attitude of the people?
I love that question, just because I feel like it is probably part of my meat and potatoes of what I've grown to love in my passion for what I do just within my career right now, that I talk to people about some tough stuff. My specific role with public health is sexual reproductive health. So people are telling me some of their darkest things, and I'm doing testing to make sure that they are educated and understand those things. So I think that creating a space of feeling welcome and feeling safe and feeling like a person can open up and share their concerns as another human being not just as a title of a council person, of being an actual fellow citizen and a fellow person who can share the concern and hopefully maybe do something about it, but creating that safe space and that space of feeling comfortable enough to share, I feel like I bring that to the table. That's a strength of mine.
You know, one of the things that I've asked this question to all of you candidates, and it's interesting to hear the responses, but what are your thoughts on if you have an ineffective city council member? Right now, there are no mechanisms in place that we can remove a city council person that, to say, has lost the confidence of their constituency, lost the confidence of their city council members, the general public. And like I said, there are no state statutes, there are no laws in place that allow the citizens to remove an ineffective or somebody they feel might have integrity issues or things of that nature. What are your thoughts? Because I know there was a bill that was proposed about that. Well, what are your thoughts on being able to remove a member of that city council if you've lost the vote of confidence from the constituency or the people in your ward?
I mean, if that's accurate in saying that there's nothing in place to be able to boot somebody, essentially, with good reason, I don't see why there shouldn't be. There should be. Create the policy, create the bill, pass it, get it moved. I think that that's part of the process of...
Yes, it is.
I'm also part of the Old Penn Joint Powers Board, and that the very first thing that I did when I joined was I wanted them to update their bylaws. It hadn't been updated since it was created in the 80s. And so, I mean, creating policies and creating some new frames of work of let's do things...
Get everything into the 20%.
Yeah, let's just update this to an actual file so we can change it. Because I think, like I said, change is good. And I think that moving with times, and that should be something that should be in there.
Well, Megan, I'm with you so far on that. The problem that we've had, which is why we addressed this in this interview, is that until the legislature in Wyoming changes and makes it possible for us to have any accountability process for our city council members, the city council has to, according to Wyoming law, has to say, well, we want the people to have the ability to recall, so here we're going to have an election to see whether they want to have that kind of accountability or not. And up to date, nobody in the council is willing to support anything that allows the people to have a process to take them out.
So if you get elected, that's one of the first things we want you to do. Do that.
Well, he's not supposed to say that.
No, of course, I kid, of course, but wink. Anyway, and I can't believe we're pretty much, we've gone through this pretty quickly, and you've answered all these. And with the brief time that we have, I want you now to give us the elevator pitch of why the residents of Ward 1 should vote for you, Megan, as their city council representative.
For the people of Ward 1, I would like to advocate more for them and for us. I am in Ward 1, so it's for us. It's not just for them. And I would like some more accountability and just to bring more life to an awareness to Ward 1, that it is a huge part of our city and the face of the rest of the world that drives by us and gets stuck here. So I think that it needs a little bit of a facelift, and I'm excited to represent that. I have a lot of love for our community, and I'm committed to investing in it and investing for my village to be able to grow here.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't realize this, but the South Side is the oldest part of Rollins. That's where Rollins was established, was the south side. I grew up on the south side.
We have the spring.
And well, back in the day, we used to play in that spring.
We used to have a spring.
Yeah, when the water actually flowed. It saddens me sometimes. I hate to admit this, but it just seems like the South Side. I mean, it was a good place to live, to grow up, and there were beautiful homes, yards. I mean, immaculate yards and everything. And it does sadden me to see that it's become, it's almost like now Trader Park City. And, on that note, I'm not going to say anything more, but.
It's your 3 minutes.
But anyway,
that's okay.
Yeah.
But that's anyway. Okay. You're saying what I'm thinking. I'm just, Southside, it, the whole Ward 1, it to spruce that side up and have more representation. We hear so much about all of the things, all of the projects that go on all over town, and they're beautiful projects. I mean, between dog parks and updating parks or any of the projects that they throw out there, I always feel like Ward 1 gets
kind of the shaft.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can use those words. Yeah, I won't. But yeah. And I think that we just need somebody to think about that. And that across the board, it's feeling like city council works to cover the city, but that's very prioritized, and I would like to bring some priority to Ward 1.
And I applaud that. And on that note, we are coming up on the hour, but I wanted to say thank you, Megan, for accepting our invitation.
Okay.
And I want to wish you well in your campaign. And again, this is Megan Cragen. She is running for will be an open seat in Ward 1 for Rollins City Council. And we want to wish her well on her campaign. And I'm sure if those of you are listening, I'm sure if you have any questions, you can reach out to Megan. I know she has some stuff on social media. And I think it has some of her personal information on there that if you want to reach out, and you can certainly ask her any questions, and I'm sure she'll speak with you. But again, we want to say thank you to all of our candidates that we've had thus far. I think as a Rollins resident and looking for someone to represent us, we have 4 very good candidates. They're all very well-spoken, excuse me. They have a lot of energy, and I think they bring with them a sense of pride in wanting to make the community a better place to live and be, and I applaud that. And I think we've got some new blood that would do and make some positive changes in our community. So thank you again for putting your hat in the ring and wanting to run.
Throwing it in there. Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate your time.
All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate your time. But thank you very much. And on that note, we want to do, again, like I said, we want to thank all of our candidates that have been on. I'm sure we'll probably see if we can get a couple more before the forums that will take place at the higher ed. I think it's July 18th.
The 8th.
The 8th. Oh, that's just...
The 8th will be the primary election candidate forum for the higher ed. I believe you're thinking the commissioners.
Maybe I'm thinking commissioners.
County-wise, okay. Is the 18th.
The 18th, okay.
Mm-hmm. Is that going to be coincident with the DDA's downtown event from that particular...
The 8th or the 18th?
I don't remember.
The 8th is a Wednesday, so shouldn't run into anything.
Yeah.
All
right. Thank you very much. I appreciate your answering questions. Some of the questions aren't the easiest to answer, and you've done a nice job of covering the bases.
And on that note, you've been listening to KRAWLP 97.9 on your FM dial. Usually this is our show, We the People, but we've had Meet the Candidates, and we think we've had some wonderful guests, and we appreciate them taking the time out of their busy schedules to come in and talk with you and tell us a little bit about them and what they would change. I want to say thank you on behalf of my co-host, Henry Nicole, And again, you've been listening to Carrie WLP 97.9 on your radio dial. I am Patrick Gonzalez, and we will see you next week.
Good night. With more candidates.
Yeah, maybe with some more candidates. Good night, everybody.
All right. Thank you very much, Megan.